living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. You know, it's kind of a miracle that any of us are here after that obstacle course we had to drive through to get in. You know, all of that is a good sign, actually, because it means they're paving and they're getting their equipment, you know, on stuff. So anyway, and this is, I think, the very first time in the history of Living Streams, and maybe even the history of the church, that a grader was in the parking lot. I don't know. I don't know if it is or not, but all that's good. All that's good stuff. So we're spending our Advent Sundays drawing near to God for all the things that we need to have a great Christmas. And I love the promise of James 4, chapter 8, that says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And so December is here, and the Christmas season is upon us in earnest. And it is a wonderful, exciting, difficult, draining time of year. And I just want to, you know, confess this morning that I am a fan of Christmas. You know, I'm a fan of saying it, celebrating it, and sharing it. All of those things. I've been looking forward to Christmas this year. I've been playing Christmas music now for a couple of weeks, breaking my rule of not playing it before Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to seeing if it's going to snow. That's the only time of year I'm looking forward to that nowadays. And Christmas can certainly be a challenging time of year as we have our calendars filled with Good Christmas Fellowship. And we get to know the UPS man fairly well because he's bringing online purchases to our doors that we will wrap up and give away as Christmas gifts. And if we're not careful, that can cause some challenges, right? If we're not careful, of course, there's Christmas programs to attend, Christmas carols to sing, Christmas food to eat, Christmas decorations to put up, and Christmas movies to watch. You know, for a time of the year that we're trying to celebrate peace on earth, it may be the least peaceful time of the whole year. But all of it is good. And it can make, even though it's a busy, crazy time of year, it can be good. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. There's an announcement that is made there that is something that seems elusive to us at this time of year as we look at our world and as we look at our life. So let's read it and remind ourselves again of what God wanted to say to the people. Right out of the box. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Let's pray. Father, we thank You for sharing with us the story of how Your Son came into the world. It's a story we love to celebrate. It's a story that we want to be able to grasp more and more every year. To not let it grow familiar. To not let it grow secular. But to let it overcome us more and more as we go through December to celebrate the day that He was born. And we thank you for Advent and the process we go through of preparing for the day, preparing to celebrate. And we pray that today would be part of that preparation as we think about peace, drawing near to you for peace. Father, let your peace come today. Let it rest upon us. Let it fill us up and send us out into the world with it. I pray that words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So where is the peace? Where is the peace in all this Christmas craziness? So we're going to try to find it and experience it and even take it home today. So first of all, we want to understand the peace. Understand the peace that the angels are talking about. You know, our God is a magnificent, majestic God, and he is many things, but the one thing that he is he is a God of peace. He is a God of peace who reigns over the kingdom of peace, who has a son called the Prince of Peace. And the verse that was read for the candle lighting there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. God is the Lord of peace. Peace comes from him. Well, what kind of peace is it? What kind of peace are we talking about? Well, you can find it described elsewhere in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 2 describes what life will be like under the rule of the Messiah. Isaiah 2 verse 4. And he shall judge between the nations. He shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. So there's peace coming. Isaiah 11, 5 to 9 also speaks about the time when Jesus' kingdom comes in full. His peace comes not only to people, but to animals. Check this out. But with righteousness, he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I think it's one of my favorite pictures of the Nativity when you get to see all of the people and all of the animals. And there seems to be this quiet hush that has fallen over them, and they're all just peaceful. Now, I know that that's man's rendition of that scene of the evening. But it speaks about the kind of peace that comes when God brings it. It's an internal kind of peace. The kind that can transform an animal's carnivorous appetite into something that's satisfied. The kind that takes away danger. Killing is no more. War is no more. Risk is no more. It's a complete peace that blankets the kingdom, that emanates from the inside out. It soaks the air that we breathe. It covers us like we're immersed in water. Peace. That's the kind of peace. And only that kind of peace can come from God. When we try to make peace, what can we do? I mean, we start, you know, crossing things off the calendar, right? We find a quiet place to sit and we be still, turning off the noise. And we go there and we stay there. And I mean, that's an external peace environment. But you know, if you don't have an internal environment to match the external environment, you can't even enjoy the external environment of peace that you've created. And so there's a different kind of peace. When God gives us peace, it comes on the inside of us. So even when the calendar is crazy, even when you can't stop the noise, even when there's no quiet to be found, you can still experience God's peace. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." At the root of this peace, the God of peace, the kingdom of peace, the Prince of Peace. At the root of it is a healing that comes between God and man. And that is why the angels said what they said when Jesus was born. And I thought, you know, most likely, those shepherds were having a pretty silent, peaceful night before the angels broke in to the night sky. I mean, you know, if you think about it, we got a nice fire there, you know, and then boom, here's this announcement of peace. And they were experiencing anything but. But that it was that announcement that tells us was a greater peace than the peace they were experiencing of the fields and the flocks. In Psalm 85, there's this prayer of lament to God over the rift between he and his people. And the people are crying out to God for forgiveness, appealing to him that he's forgiven us in the past. Please forgive us again in the present. And then the psalm kind of turns from, it changes pronouns from we to me. It gets personal. And in verse 8, it says, "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints." So God, you've been good to us in the past. You've forgiven us of our sins in the past. We need your forgiveness. Take away your wrath in the present. Please speak to me now. What are you going to speak? You're going to speak peace. That's the gospel. Now he answered that prayer when he sent Jesus. When he sent Jesus into the world, that was the answer. He answered the prayer for peace. He kept all of his promises for peace. He made a way for man to be heart reconciled to God when we couldn't do that on our own. That's the kind of peace we're talking about. It's a gospel of peace that changes the heart of man. Do you get that? Do you know that peace? Because if you don't know it, you can today. So our God is a God of peace who reigns over a kingdom of peace, who has a son who is called the Prince of Peace because he brings a gospel of peace. God does a lot of peacemaking with us in our world. But that doesn't mean that we can't participate in some peacemaking. We can make the peace come in our lives. We can usher it into our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." So when we are in the peacemaking business, we're acting like our Heavenly Father. We're showing the world what he looks like. God wants us to live at peace with one another. And he wants us to tell people about the peace that they can have with God. He wants us to be peacemakers. Psalm 34:14, "Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." There is no better time of the year than Christmas to put this verse into action. Just stop a minute and think about the peace killers in your life. I think about the peace killers. Now, I'm not talking about the busy calendar, and that's external peace killer. I'm talking about the internal peace killers. You know, the things that steal your sleep. The things that occupy your mind 24/7. The things that make it hard to believe. Those are peace killers. Spiritual warfare is a peace killer. You know, when Satan's got you in his crosshairs and the fiery arrows are just being launched at you, that will kill your peace. Conflict is a peace killer. When you're at odds with people, you know, anger took over, words were said, and it's not settled. When you're in that kind of conflict, it is really difficult to experience the peace of God. Sin is a peace killer. When you are doing things or thinking things that offend God, and you stay in those patterns of doing and thinking, you are in conflict then with God, and you will be under his loving discipline. Until you are able to see what that sin is doing to your relationship with him and your relationship with other people. Worry is a peace killer. You know, when you just fret and fret and fret about life and the things that happen. How are we going to pay for Christmas? You know, what is wrong with the car now? How am I going to pass this final? What if the doctor has bad news for me? Worry. We can brew that stuff a lot, can't we? It's a huge peace killer. And then that often leads to fear. Fear that we're not going to be okay. Fear of the future. Fear of failure. Fear of losing your job. Whatever it is. You know, worry kind of makes your soul just bounce off its walls. And fear just freezes you. It paralyzes you in one place. But both of those things kill your peace. Both of them. Now, for every single one of those peace killers, there's a way to overcome them by being a peacemaker, by making some peace. Now, prayer is a huge peacemaking tool. It's huge. When you're under spiritual attack, that is how you fight back in the war. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You know, if you're a believer trying to live for God every single day, you can bet, you can count on this, that you're on Satan's radar. And he doesn't like it when you're trying to live for God. And the only way that you can be a good soldier in that fight is on your knees. Putting on the armor of God. Otherwise, you're a sitting duck for Satan. Ephesians 6:18 goes on after Paul lists out the armor of God, and he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. How do you know if Satan's messing with you? You know, sometimes it's hard to tell. But I know this. If you can't find peace in any area of your life, and you can't identify another peace killer, I bet Satan is messing with you. And when that happens, what you want to do is follow James 4:7 with prayer. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you do that on your knees. And you enlist prayer warriors for you to get praying for you for your protection. And you will find James 4:7 come to life. The devil will flee from you. Prayer is a key to overcoming worry and fear. It's a huge key to that. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. I totally love that verse. Amen. Yeah, come on. Totally love it. All the ingredients of making peace over worry and fear are in that verse. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand. That is an act of trusting God in the God of the Bible. And so it kind of begs the question, what do you believe about the God of the Bible? Your God. Is your God mighty? I mean, is your God the one that created the world and created you? Is your God the one that parted the Red Sea and rescued his people from Pharaoh? Is that your God? Did he take down a giant with a shepherd boy and some pebbles in a sling? Is that your God? What do you believe about God? He saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. He shut the mouths of lions when Daniel was stuck in their den. Is that your God? Is he the Most High? Is your God the one that fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? Amen. Did he cure lepers? Did he cleanse them? Did he give sight to the blind? Did he free people from their sins? Is that your God? Because if that's your God, get this. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. And so we humble ourselves under his mighty hand and we wait for him to lift us up. And you do that on your knees. And while you're down there, you become a really good caster. All right, you know, like casting. Except we're not reeling nothing back in on this cast. All right, we're casting it as far as we can. All of our anxieties, all of our fears, all of that stuff at the feet of God. We're casting it all on him. Why? Because he's a mighty God and he cares for you. Now that is such a tender statement, isn't it? It implies he knows you. He knows what's going on in your life. He's involved in what's going on in your life. And he wants us to cast our worries and trust him. Trust him for all the stuff that keeps us up, that brews in our head, all of those things. So become a good caster. Cast it every time those peace killers come around. You can trust him because he cares for you. Now let's talk about conflict. Conflict with God and conflict with others. Two R words to making peace in conflict. Repentance and reconciliation. You know what leads us to repentance? Well, Romans chapter 2, verse 4 tells us, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin?" So when you are able to see the kind grace of God poured out in your life, and you balance that with our behavior toward him, that brings some conviction. None of us deserve that grace. None of us. But God pours it out on us. And when you see that, when you balance that, when you're able to see it, a spiritual thing is going on. This is not a human thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's a gift. And when you're able to see that, your heart wants to do better. You don't want to keep living that way. You know it's bad. And you want to do it God's way. And you start agreeing with God about how to do life. And when you're in that state, then you start asking God to forgive you of your sin. And you know what happens? He does. Because that's what 1 John 1:9 says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us of our sin. And so how do you know that you've been forgiven of your sin when you're laying it out there before him? You get filled up with the peace of God. And that's called reconciliation. That's what happens. That's how to make peace with God. Repentance is the key to peace on earth that the angels were talking about. Now, the other night, I watched a Christmas movie called Home Alone. It's been around a while, so you might have seen it or not. It has the absolute all-time best scream of terror that has ever been put on the big screen. Watch it. It's pretty funny. But, you know, I was surprised that that movie is all about conflict resolution. Now think about it. Kevin, he's the main character. He's an 8-year-old little boy. He gets accidentally left at home by his family. He goes to Paris for a weekend. And he has this elderly neighbor known as Old Man Marley, who spends a lot of time outdoors salting the sidewalks after it snows. Now, Old Man Marley is kind of this scrawny, spooky-looking old man. And so all the kids in the neighborhood, they got stories about him, and they're horror stories. So everybody's scared to death of this man, including Kevin. Well, on Christmas Eve, the two of them find themselves sitting in church before the service, and they strike up a conversation. And they talk about why they're there. And the man tells Kevin, "I'm here to listen to my granddaughter sing because I'm not welcome at the performance." And Kevin says, "You're not welcome at church?" And the guy says, "Nah, everybody's welcome at church. I'm not welcome by my family. You see, years ago, my son and I had words, and we haven't spoken or seen each other since." And Kevin encourages the man. "Call your son. Call your son." He says, "I don't care how mad I was at my dad. I'd talk to him, especially at Christmas." And then at the end of the movie, Kevin spies out his window, Old Man Marley having this tearful, joyful reunion with his family. And I thought, you know, even the world knows that Christmas time is a good time to make peace. Even the world gets it. You want to have a peace-filled Christmas? Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Follow this. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. As far as it depends on you, with the conflicts in your life, you accept the responsibility for your part in it. And then you do what God would want you to do. So if you were the one who did the wrong in the conflict, then you hear that repentance preaching again. And you clear that up with the Lord. And then you go to the person that you wronged and you say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Can we make this right? Seek reconciliation. Now, if you're the one that was wronged, there's a little different path. You take that offense to God. You go tell God, God, this hurt. I'm wounded. I'm mad. It wasn't right. It wasn't just. And you keep taking it to God until you can leave it there and forgive the person who hurt you before him. Don't hold on to the hurt, because that's the peace killer. When you've been wounded, if you hang on to hurt, you put yourself in a prison that becomes bitterness. And it flows out and infects every part of your life. Take it to God and pray that he'll convict the other person about what they did. You know, don't get in the way. Don't get in the way of what God wants to do in their life, but pray for them that you can have reconciliation. Amen. But you take your offense to God. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's how you have a peace-filled Christmas. Make some peace. And when you do that, you're going to find you're filling up on God's peace. So we understand the peace that the angels were proclaiming to the shepherds, and we know that we can participate in making that peace come in our life through prayer and repentance and reconciliation. So there's only one thing left to do, and that's to experience the peace. And we do that by drawing near to God. Now, it's true that we won't be immersed in that wonderful peace until his kingdom comes in full. And we look forward to that with hope. And Christmas should remind you that Jesus came once, but he's going to come again. And it's all going to be different when he comes again. But right now, while we wait for that kingdom to come in full, we can experience safety and security and salvation in our God right now. Because what's his name? Emmanuel. God with us. So in Psalm 91... it is a wonderful psalm to look to draw near to God for peace. I want to just read it to you. And we're just going to think about what it says about our God. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And you will tread in the lion, you will tread on the lion and in the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
Yeah. That psalm is a great psalm. Now, it doesn't speaks about our God as a shelter and a refuge and a fortress. The Most High God. He is the Most High, and he fights for you against all the powers that are against you. He is your deliverer, your protector, your shield. Even if it seems like everybody's going down all around you, God's not going to let you be hurt. You will be guarded every second of the day by his angels. You will walk in dangerous places, but you will not be in danger. Because you love the Lord. Because you know him. You know his name. He will envelop you in protection. He will answer your prayers. He will be with you in trouble, and you will see his salvation. Now, there is no mention of God's peace in Psalm 91, but by drawing near to the God of Psalm 91, we can experience his peace. Coming under his wing, abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. That's how we do that. Then we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper as we close our service today. And there's no better way that we have than to draw near to God and experience his peace during this time. So the table is set and the elements are ready to remind you of the price that was paid for that peace that we have with God. So you're invited to draw near to him today up here at this altar of prayer, to abide in his shadow, to come under his wing and find his peace. When you're here, think about the cross. Think about Jesus' sacrifice for you, how he spilt his blood. Think about the manger and that baby that was born for the one purpose, to bring life to mankind. Spend some time abiding. When you're ready for the elements, glance up and our elders will serve you, and you can use the front row if you have trouble kneeling. Please do that. Now, if you've never known the peace of God like I've been talking about today, you don't know what that's like. Maybe it's because you've not trusted God with yourself. You know, you've not reconciled with him before. You might know all this stuff. You might know about Christmas. You might know about the cross and the empty tomb. But it's never come home. You've never made it your own. Well, today, you can do that. If you don't know this peace, it's your sins that caused conflict between you and God. But reconciliation happens when we believe in who Jesus is and what he did on the cross. And that he didn't just do that. He did it for you. For you personally. And he rose from the grave to come into people's lives and give them hope and give them a future. That's who we worship today. And that's the gospel of peace. That's how you make peace with God, is you put your life in his hands. And so, you know, if you're here this morning and that's never happened to you before, then I invite you to come and talk to me before you leave and just say, I want God's peace. And we'll talk to him and he will fill you up with his peace. You'll not only get his peace, but you'll get him too. Let's pray. For this is what the Lord himself has said about his table. And I've passed it on to you before, that on the night when Judas betrayed him, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to God for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new agreement between God and you that has been established and set in motion by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death, that he has died for you. Do this until he comes again. Lord, we are thankful for a chance to come to your table to celebrate your sacrifice for us at this time of year. And we want to come under your wing today, the Almighty, the Most High. We ask you, Lord, just to fill us with your peace in such a way that we can go out in this world and share it with others. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a good and great God who doesn't withhold good from us, but pours himself out for us. Lord, fill us up today with your Holy Spirit. One of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. Send us out with that peace coming from us, from the inside out. Let us be peacemakers in our lives as we go. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.